Great. So we see in those verses a whole host of people from history who had faith in God. I wonder what you think the word faith means. What words come to mind? When I started this, I was thinking of belief and trust. I associated faith with a mental activity or maybe a gut response to muster something up to be maybe more effective. Yet, in these verses that we've read together, in even a short summary, we can see a lot of action, of lies filled with conquering kings, enforcing justice, and shutting the mouths of lions. These are not just people that have sat around, thought, and mustered a belief, but are people who have lived, who have made choices, some good, some bad, but made choices in particularly difficult situations. So, what is faith? What is Christian faith? My challenge to us this morning is that we will see that faith is not the rejection of reason and thinking, but rather that faith begins with it. It begins with reason and with thinking. That faith doesn't contradict it, and it may even go beyond it. That faith begins with thinking, but ends in trusting in, relying on, and clinging to. Verse 1 gives us a definition of faith. We're going to look at two different translations from the Bible, both faithfully trying to put Greek into English so that we can understand it. The first, the English Standard Version, says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." The King James Version says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Both translations here are helpful. The English Standard Version word assurance makes me think of an inner state, a confidence that relies on my mindset or a way of thinking. The King James Version word substance makes me think of a thing, an experience, or a taste of something. As I said, both translations are helpful. And we're going to come to the Greek words to help unpack this further. Now, I'm no Greek scholar, so I'm not even going to try and say the two words that are going to come up on our screen in a moment. But the word assurance, substance, confidence, from which this first verse stems from, is from two Greek words up there. Both words in Greek bring together the translations that we've read, that faith is a mindset. But faith also opens up an experience to taste and participate in something that we hope for. It's not about mustering something up from within or talking yourself up to something, but it is a taste of evidence. To experience what I'm getting at here, I hope you'll indulge me for a few minutes. We're going to get in the Christmas spirit again. I'm going to put some Christmas music on. You have 3 minutes to get as festive as you would like. You can share your favorite Christmas film. I would like you to share your favorite Christmas tradition. You've got 3 minutes. Enjoy Christmas. Off you go.
We come a caroling.
Take a home with you.
We're going to come back together. Well, I hope you enjoyed getting in the Christmas spirit over the last 3 minutes. In my opinion, it's far too early to start celebrating Christmas, but hey, I hope it will help us make my point. So, together, we've just had a little experience of what Christmas will be like. We've had a little flavour of what we will fully experience, what we will be fully immersed in when December comes and when the Christmas holidays hit. Based on our past experience of Christmas, many years filled with food, family and gifts and all of those traditions that you've just shared, we can reason what the feeling and reality of Christmas will be like. In November, it is, and please just agree with me here to make my point, that it is odd, it's bizarre, it's strange to celebrate Christmas. But despite it being November, we set our mindset and participated in something for which we hope for, which directly affected our current reality. Keep that idea and experience with you as we continue on. Hebrews chapter 11 shows us that Christian faith is not blind. It begins with our mind. It begins with thinking. However, it doesn't end there. It ends with radical commitment and action, trusting in, relying on, and clinging to. The acts of faith in Hebrews made no sense in their current surroundings. Take Noah, for example. He built a huge ark, a huge boat, based on the promise that God was going to bring this flood. But he built a boat on dry land with sun in the sky. Their acts didn't make sense in their current environment, but they acted in faith. These people in Hebrews had one eye on the past, their evidence of why they could trust God, that he would be faithful to his word and to his people. So what's our evidence today? How can we keep one eye on the past, assuring us, giving us confidence that God is faithful to his word and to us? Well, to take one very big example, Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross. Just as we shared communion together this morning, we remember it to remember the foundation of our faith, that God promised that he would make a way to deal with sin and the problem of evil, to make a way for us to be part of his family forever. He sent Jesus to fulfill this, and his resurrection secures it. With evidence to back him up, God is faithful. And Christian faith begins with thinking, considering the evidence, which leads to radical commitment and action. We're going to quickly look at two examples together from Hebrews chapter 11. And first up is Sarah. In verse 11, it says, "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise." Sarah's first act of faith here is in her heart and in her mind. She considered. She considered God to be faithful. Her faith was not perfect, which I find incredibly reassuring in my own life as I try and fail to live for Jesus. She laughed in unbelief in Genesis 18 when God first told her the promise that she would have a child at her old age. But then later on, she laughed in faith in Genesis 21. Sarah considered and she looked at the past. She looked at the evidence. Based on what God had done in the past, showing his character of trustworthiness, she did the mental maths. Now, I hate mental maths. Abby can testify to that, as can most of my class at school. But I can get on board with this one. She did the mental maths that God had kept his promise before. He had done what he said he would, and that he'd do it again. Her faith started with thinking, and she was given strength in action. Next up is Abraham. In verses 17 to 20, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.'" God had made a big promise to Abraham that despite Abraham and his wife Sarah's old age, that they would have a son. Through this son, God would make their family into a great nation and all peoples on the earth would be blessed. Then the reality of God asking Abraham to give up Isaac is a big, whoa, 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 what's going on moment. On one hand, we have God's promise. And then on the other hand, we have the reality of the situation. How do the two go together? Now you may be thinking the same. How can the reality of my current situation now not contradict God's promises to me? What kind of faith should I have? Abraham's response in verse 19 is he considered that God was able to raise him, that's Isaac, from the dead, from which figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham considered, he reasoned, he thought. Abraham did the mental maths that there cannot be a contradiction because looking at the evidence, God will do what he says he will do. Abraham embraced faith and trusted God. Now, there are numerous times in Hebrews chapter 11 when God's people sat down and reasoned. Faith is not the absence of thinking things through. Faith begins with that process. But it doesn't end with that process, though. Otherwise, Sarah and Abraham would have done some great mental maths, but not a lot would have happened. Faith doesn't call us to sit, think, and sit around waiting. Faith enables us to engage with our mind and navigate life now. In verse 8, after thinking and considering, it says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place that he was to receive as an inheritance." Faith links to action. There's an element of where faith becomes a leap, but it's not a blind leap. It's an eyes wide open leap. An informed leap that is obedient to God's love for us and his good way for us to live. In Jesus' resurrection, death is conquered, and God is moving our world towards renewal and towards restoration. He has promised that Jesus will come again as part of the final judgment day, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, with no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, because the old order of things will pass away. Faith calls us to live in the present like the future has already arrived. Faith calls us to live in a way now like our future hope with Jesus has already started in our hearts and in our minds. This is not a blind leap and a thing to navigate on our own, but it is based on the evidence of Jesus doing it before. He came the first time and he died on the cross and resurrected 3 days later. This can reframe everything in our lives, how we think about relationships, work, finance, sex, everything, where we live. Faith can reorientate every part of life in light of God's promise of the new creation, that we can begin to taste his reality of hope. The power of Hebrews 11 is that faith engages with our mind, that by looking at what God has already done in the Bible of the person sat next to you in your own life, we have evidence of God's trustworthiness and goodness. Living life now while we wait can be powerfully transformed by faith. To see the Holy Spirit work in our lives, to live as if the future has already arrived and that we can begin to taste it. Life can be characterized by faith, which gives us an experience, a taste of our future with God in the new creation. That life can be flavored by risky, radical faith, which starts with thinking and is where we can experience God's restoring power now. This is the end of this part of our service, but really, we're just getting started. We're going to move into a time of worship and prayer, and I'd like you to consider Hebrews chapter 11. Sit with it open. Sit with Hebrews chapter 11 in front of you, and what jumps out? What stands out to you? Ask God what he wants to say through that. And secondly, ask God to point out areas in your life of unfaith, of unbelief, where God may be asking you to think and consider the evidence so that you can step out in faith for his glory. I'm going to hand over to the band, but those questions are going to stay up. And this is a time for us to worship and pray and respond to Hebrews chapter 11.